Blog Talk Radio.
And where else would you be, and where else would you rather be? There you go, as we get set to go, another episode of Russell and Ridge coming your way from cloudy Los Angeles, California. It's actually a little rainy, if you can even imagine. The polar vortex sweeping America seems to have caught us here in the City of Angels. It's around 50 degrees, but another great day to bring you another episode of Russell and Ridge. I'm Russell Simon. Great to be with you once again, flying solo for this week's edition. I felt like I was in episode quarantine over the past week. The flu has been going around, and it has struck both members of the Russell and Rudge team. Rudge was supposed to be joining us, but he has actually not been able to go to class all week. He is actually that sick, ladies and gentlemen. He was devoted coming on the show, tried to stick it out, but when he had to go to the health center for the seventh time since Saturday, we realized he had to pass. Nevertheless, we've got a jam-packed Super Bowl preview episode coming your way at 4:15. We're going to have Max Meyer of Neon Tommy and USA Today coming on to talk about sports betting and some of the gambling predictions that can help you win big on Sunday. Lord knows billions will be spent and wagered on Sunday's game. And then at 4:45, we're going to have Kenny Ducey from WFUV. He's a beat reporter for the New York Knicks, works for WFAN as well, and he's going to be coming on to talk about what it is like being in New York for the Super Bowl. And once again, we remind you that you can call in at any time, 347-637-3502. The number to call as we get our show rolling, Russell and Rudge, Episode 4, and you look at the Super Bowl, and for the first time, I feel in several years, we've got a matchup between the two best teams in the NFL. Think about last year. Baltimore, they were a wild card team, made a late run at the end of the season, were able to come on strong, win an incredible game in Denver, beat the Patriots solidly, and then went on to win the Super Bowl. But that was hardly a team that you could have looked at in, say, October and said, oh, that's a team that's going to win the Super Bowl. That's a team that's going to make a deep playoff run. Because at that point, you couldn't. But hands down, throughout the 2013-2014 NFL season, if there was two constants in the NFL, it was that the Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks were going to bring it and that they were the two best teams in the NFL. Denver started off the season red hot, as did Seattle. Both teams ended up going 13-3. And garnered home field advantage throughout the NFL playoffs. And it feels kind of refreshing to almost have, you know, the two best teams in the NFL facing off. We know that we're getting the best possible matchup on Sunday, even though certainly not the matchup anticipated. I had the Niners going, and a great game that was 2 weeks ago up in Seattle. And now the Seahawks and Broncos both will travel from the West out into New York and New Jersey for the first cold weather Super Bowl. And I wanted to give my thoughts on this before we dive deep into matchups. Once again, you're listening to the Russell and Rudge Show that I'm called 347-637-3502. And I actually grew up prior to coming out to USC. I grew up in the shadow of MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. And yes, the Super Bowl is being played in New Jersey, people. Let's not forget that. But when I heard that, and this must have been 4 years ago because MetLife Stadium was just being built, that Roger Goodell had awarded the 2014 Super Bowl to MetLife Stadium, my first reaction was, I got to admit, I was, you know, very surprised because there's really no precedent for this kind of thing. The Super Bowl has always been in the warm weather or in the dome where the weather is totally not a factor. And when you've got the corporate crowd, which obviously the Super Bowl caters to because tickets have got to be, you know, a couple thousand dollars each a piece, and the Super Bowl has always been, you kind of take it for granted that it's going to be in Tampa or going to be in Miami or going to be a dome. And they were really stepping outside the box by having the Super Bowl in New York and New Jersey. And really, I think there are some pros and some cons of this decision. You know, obviously, you've got the weather to deal with. It looks like the NFL is going to get lucky. It's going to definitely be very cold, and we will definitely have a cold weather Super Bowl. But it's going to be nothing like the epic blizzard, polar vortex misery that the East Coast has endured for, you know, pretty much the entire winter. When I went home for winter break, it was freezing, but you're not going to have that. You're just going to have the cold temperature. Will that affect play? I really don't think so. Denver, they have played in the cold throughout much of December, much of January. They play in Denver, and Seattle's certainly accustomed to it as well, so it would certainly be different if you had San Diego coming in. They would definitely have to adjust. But I don't think Peyton Manning or Russell Wilson or any of these teams are going to really have to adjust. The only problem would be if it snowed, and I don't think that's going to happen. So I really don't mind having the Super Bowl in the cold weather, and I think it's very exciting for the people of New York and New Jersey to kind of get the experience of hosting a Super Bowl. And we've got someone who lives in New Jersey on the line right now, 862. You're live on the Russell Enbrod Show. What's going on?
What's up, Russell? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. But, and I know that as a New Jersey native, I wanted to get your thoughts. What do you think about the decision to have the Super Bowl at MetLife Stadium?
I thought it would be questionable at first, especially with the weather we're having, because I don't want the weather to decide the game. I want to see Peyton Manning go mano-a-mano with that great defense, because, I mean, that's just a lot. That's just great. I mean, we don't want to have any kind of cold weather factor into the way he plays. I think that that'd just be a bummer. But, you know, with the, it was going to be 46 degrees this weekend at MetLife, so I think it's going to be a good choice. I think that they're both teams aren't going to be affected by it. Denver's already originally a cold weather team, as you said before, anyways. And Seattle, as we all know, it's always raining and cold over there. So I don't think either team will be affected by it. I think from a media perspective, it's great because we're going to be in New York, and this is the best city in the world, and the fans are going to be up for it. No matter, I don't care if it would be a blizzard out there, they'd show up and go to the game. I mean, these New York fans
it's
are very
Super Bowl, of course.
Heck yes, they're always going to show up. So I think it's a great choice overall to have it in New York. I mean, if we had, if it was like a post, if it's been really cold, and, you know, this game's huge, I wouldn't want it, the weather to decide, but since it won't, I think it's a great move. I think that having it in New York is great, and the vibe out here is crazy. So
yeah,
it's definitely a good move for the NFL.
And keep in mind that weather has been a factor before. When Peyton Manning won his one and only Super Bowl, he did so against Chicago in Miami in just a torrential rainpour and downpour, and that rain did not stop the entire game from the minute Devin Hester took the opening kickoff 105 yards for the touchdown. And the weather really played a factor there, and I really don't think it's going to be a big factor. And I think the NFL got lucky, and they certainly gambled a bit. Could it have gone badly? Could there have been an epic blizzard, polar vortex, whatever, you know, you get a Lambeau field type negative 5-degree wind chill day? That could have happened, but I don't think it will. And I like the idea of having the Super Bowl in one of the largest, most vibrant cities in the world as opposed to, you know, Indianapolis.
Yeah, no doubt about that. No doubt about that. The handle is much better out here. And it's just it's just awesome that the vibe out here, like I said before, is great. People are all over the place in the city. And I think there wasn't a better place to have it in the world than New York City. The only downside could have, is the weather, and that isn't going to be a factor, so it's a great move.
And
like,
looking forward
like roses
to
here.
You got it. And looking forward to the game, really I think a matchup between, hands down, the two best teams in the league. There's a lot to like on paper. You've got the number one offense versus the number one defense. What are you most looking forward to, 862?
I'm definitely looking forward to seeing Peyton Manning go against that defense for sure. I want to see that offense versus that defense. I'm not even so much interested in what the Seattle Seahawks do offensively, because I know they're going to probably run the ball a lot more than anything else. I mean, they're going to have Russell Wilson probably being a game manager out there, but I really do like the matchup of that offense against that Broncos that Broncos offense versus that Seattle defense, because there's a lot of hype going up into it. I mean, Richard Sherman today said that Peyton Manning throws ducks. I mean, you want to see him throw at Richard Sherman. I'm not sure if he will, I'm not sure if he will go target him as much, but I just it's very interesting to see. And the top and at the top offense in the league versus the top defense in the league is a lot of fun. And I think the NFL couldn't have gotten any more lucky with that being the matchup in the Super Bowl, because that's going to get some pretty great TV ratings, I think.
No doubt, and thanks for the call. And before we let you go, I want to hear your prediction. I'm going to get to mine after we talk to Kenny Doozy around 450 or 455. But what do you think? Who comes out on top in the battle at MetLife?
I want to say Seattle wins it. I think Seattle's going to win 27-24. I think that defense is going to be great. They're going to get pressure on Peyton. I would love to see Peyton get another one, but I just think that defense is too formidable. I think they're going to get pressure on them, kind of like the Giants did Tom Brady a few years ago.
So you trust Russell Wilson to make enough plays to – and he certainly did. To his credit, and this has been widely discussed, did not have a great game against New Orleans in the divisional round. But last week or 2 weeks ago against San Francisco, the guy made a ton of plays. You think he's going to have a similar performance to how he played 2 weeks ago when they made it to the Super Bowl with a big win over San Francisco?
I think so. I think after seeing what I saw last week from him, I mean, two weeks ago from him against San Fran, he made big-time plays down the field. He was able to make that play to put him over the top. And I feel like he can do that against this Broncos defense, his secondary. That isn't that great. I think they're much better at stopping the run than stopping the pass. And that's what it's going to come down to for him. So I think they're going to have to go away from the run game for a little bit anyways. And he's going to have to make that play to put him over the top. I think he will.
All right, 862, thank you very much for the call. You're welcome to remain listening. The number to call in, once again, 347-637-3502. 862, thank you very much for the call. Have a good one. And, hey, enjoy the spectacle of being in the United States for the Super Bowl.
I will, man. It was good calling in. Thank you.
You got it. And there you have it. Number to call in, 347-637-3502. We're going to have Max Meyer coming on to talk Super Bowl betting in 3 minutes. But first, let's take a quick look at how these two teams got here. You could have said in August, and many people did, that the matchup was going to be Denver and Seattle. Peyton Manning had arrived in Denver last year, and they were tragically shocked by the Baltimore Ravens at home at Invesco Field at Mile High in the playoffs last year, but they returned this year, and they added a big piece in Wes Welker to play slot receiver, and you had a sense that Denver was going to be a force to be reckoned with this year, and they really, from the minute they took the field opening night, they brought it. 49-27, remember, they beat Baltimore in the season opener where Peyton Manning threw 7 touchdowns, and from that point on, for Peyton, you kind of knew that it was going to be a special year for him. Manning would end up going 450 for 659 on the year. He threw the record for passing yards in the season with 5,477 yards. He broke the record formerly held by Drew Brees. And then after that win over Baltimore, the Broncos just kept right on winning. They put up 41 against the Giants the next week. So keep in mind they had almost 100 points in 2 weeks. Then they had 37 in a week 3 win over the Raiders. They hammered Philadelphia 52-20. So keep in mind, all of these numbers are in the high 30s, 40s, even the 50s. The week after that 52-20 win over the Eagles, they put up 51 in what had got to be the game of the year in the regular season, at least when they beat Dallas. Tony Romo played out of his mind, but again, it was a recurring trend where Peyton Manning was just too much. He threw for 414 yards and 4 touchdowns in that game. Then the Broncos hammered the Jaguars the next week, 35-19. So keep in mind, after 6 weeks, they were undefeated. However, that changed in week 7, where they narrowly lost to Indianapolis, 39-33. Certainly a game that was a blip. You know, no team is going undefeated this year. It was bound to happen at some point. Andrew Luck played a good game at home, and they were able to win. Then they went out and beat the Redskins, went on a nice 3-game win streak. And then it was time for really the low point of the season for Denver. Peyton Manning was facing off once again against Tom Brady, his old nemesis. And in a game where the Broncos jumped out to a huge lead, they were up multiple touchdowns in the second half, put up 31 points very early on, and then the Patriots just clawed back and Denver completely folded. Manning threw some interceptions, really kind of struggled down the stretch in that when he only threw for 150 yards and then a muffed punt in overtime was all she wrote. And in week 12, the Broncos suffered really their first bad loss of the year, and then you had all the doubters coming in talking about the supremacy of Tom Brady, even though the Patriots team obviously did not have the talent of Denver. And this was talk that really did not end until the conference championship game where Denver was able to go out and win. But after that week 12 loss, they went on a big tear again. They beat the Chiefs twice. Keep in mind, after the Chiefs opened up the year undefeated and went on a big run, they lost again. Their third loss was in week 15 to the Chargers, 27-20. But other than that, they ended the year in first place in the AFC, and they were in position to make a Super Bowl run. And you knew that for this team, it was Super Bowl or bust from the minute they took the field against Baltimore opening night, and that is exactly what happened. We will break down the Seahawks in a moment, but first we're going to have an interview with Max Meyer. He's going to talk Super Bowl betting when we return. You're listening to Russell and Rudge. I'm Russell Simon, bringing you this one solo. We will be right back after this quick music break with an interview with Max Meyer. Welcome back to the Russell N. Rhodes Show. I'm Russell Simon. You can find me on Twitter at Russell Simon, NYK, two L's. And now I'm joined by a very special guest. He is a head sports editor at Neon Tommy over here at USC, new writer for the USA Today, loves sports gambling, and you can check out his new column on the top five best prop bets for the Super Bowl over on neontommy.com. He is Max Meyer, and he joins us now. Max, how goes it, sir?
Russell, can you hear me?
How's it going, Max? Good to have you on.
I'm good, dude. I'm just ready to talk Super Bowl and betting. Two of the best.
And we hang out a lot, and I hear it a lot with you talking about the spread. And this has got to be, you know, your nirvana. You look forward to the Super Bowl. Obviously, I know you're a Jet fan, and the Jets are never in it, so you're not looking forward to it for that reason. But in terms of gambling, this is the one day of the year where all of America really comes together and puts some money down on the games, right?
Yeah, and I would say for casual bettors for NFL betting during the regular season, they're really only looking at the spreads and the point totals. But with prop bets in the Super Bowl, there's over hundreds of choices. You can bet on any aspect you want, from Peyton Manning passing touchdowns to Marshawn Lynch rushing yards to how long the national anthem will be. It's so much fun for everyone involved.
And I wanted to get in on some of the more serious bets before we delve into kind of the foolishness with the national anthem and everything. And we've got to talk about that, too, because that's where the money is won. I tell you, when you're betting on the coin toss, you've got a 50-50 shot of getting it right.
But please, do not bet on the coin toss. Even a degenerate like myself can refrain from betting on the coin toss.
I want to hear about some of your good advice, and I want to hear some of the best bets going forward as we bet on the Super Bowl. What do you got?
All right, so let's start. I actually think that this prop bet is my favorite one, and this is on Bovada right now. Julius Thomas, total receiving yards, under 55.5. And this line is, in my mind, inflated just because Vegas took Thomas's average receiving yards per game in the regular season. But I actually think he will be a non-factor in this game, and let me explain why. First and foremost, the Seahawks are incredibly good at defending the tight end. In 18 games, that the Seahawks have played, only three tight ends would have won this prop bet by having 56 receiving yards or more. and that is Greg Olsen, Rob Hausler, and Owen Daniels. But the Seahawks have done an amazing job at shutting down elite tight ends. The Seahawks faced Vernon Davis three times, and in those three contests, they held him to a combined 57 yards. Jimmy Graham, considered the best tight end in the NFL, he played the Seahawks twice. He was held to 50 yards in those two contests. And Tony Gonzalez, the ageless wonder, in his one game against the Seahawks shut him down for only 29 yards. So as you can see, the Seahawks defense, led by Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas with this, at the safety position, they do such a great job at defending the tight end. And Peyton Manning does have other weapons that he will be throwing to because the tight end will be tough to find in this game. And additionally, regarding Julius Thomas, he did average 56 receiving yards in the regular season, like I said before, but in 10 of his 14 regular season games, he did not reach the 50-yard receiving plateau, which means that he had a few big games, but mostly his damage has been done in the red zone where he's racked up 12 touchdowns.
And you make a very good point about the tight end. Keep in mind, 2 weeks ago, you barely even knew Vernon Davis was on the field in that game. And I think a lot of that is really because of Seattle's defensive style. They pressure everyone right off the ball. They don't really give you a 5-yard cushion. And that makes it really difficult for tight ends to kind of make the move and get open really quickly for the short catches. And Tom is definitely the fourth option for Denver, and they've got a lot of good options. Do you think the fact that Denver has so many good wide receivers and Thomas, Becker, and Welker, it kind of makes it hard to focus on one, and that could mean more opportunities for a guy like Julius Thomas, who won't have to really deal with the cover, with the coverage of a guy like Richard Sherman for much of the game?
Well, usually what Seattle does is they put Cam Chancellor on the tight end, and Chancellor is a great weapon because not only is he good at coverage, but the fear of the hard hit from him causes a lot of drops by tight end. And also, if Thomas does manage to do well against Chancellor, then they could also bring in Earl Thomas. But I'm expecting Thomas to cover Decker or Welker, to tell you
the
truth.
Yeah, and then Richard Sherman will obviously be on Demaryius Thomas for much of the game.
Yeah, but actually, a Broncos weapon that I like, and this is leading into my second prop bet, I actually think that Knowshon Moreno will have a decent amount of receptions in this game. So from the LVH Sportsbook, I am taking the over on total receptions for Knowshon Moreno, and the line is set at 2.5.
What's the other? 2.5.
The line is set at 2.5, so I'm taking the over.
And
I think that I think this line is so low because of the rib injury that Moreno suffered in the AFC Championship game. But Moreno has caught at least 3 balls in 11 of the 16 regular season games. He's been a weapon for Peyton Manning underneath. And Moreno should thrive in the passing game in the Super Bowl just because the Seahawks' passing defense does not give up big plays. Quarterbacks are forced to check down to the running backs in these situations. Also, the weather, albeit it'll be warmer than we originally thought, but cold weather Peyton Manning will still look for the short pass, and that's where I think Moreno will definitely be a factor in this game. And additionally, running backs against the Seahawks defense, the past 9 games, a running back has had at least 3 receptions in 8 different times against the Seahawks, which I definitely think is a positive trend towards the Moreno bet. And while this isn't one
and
of my...
I think that's really a trend that results from just the Legion of Boom and how great their secondary is. When you can't get any production from your wide receivers and none of them can ever gain any separation, which was what we have seen for much of the year, and we definitely saw it in the conference championship game, you're going to have no option other than to check down, and that means big receiving days for a lot of running backs.
Yeah, and while Moreno has only had 3 catches in Denver's previous 2 playoff games, that's because Denver was able to exploit San Diego and New England on the outside, and Moreno wasn't as needed. But as you mentioned before, the Legion of Boom, they're just such a historically good pass defense that Peyton Manning is going to need to look underneath for Moreno. And also, this isn't one of my official top 5 bets, but I also like Monty Ball over 1.5 catches as well.
We're talking with Max Meyer. He writes for USA Today now as an intern, I believe, and he's also an executive editor for Neon Tommy. You can follow him on Twitter at TheMaxMeyer, once again at TheMaxMeyer. Max, we've got a lot of the serious stuff, but now, obviously, the Super Bowl watched by pretty much everyone in America, millions upon millions, and a lot of them know little about football, but even they can get in on the action. There's prop bets for just about everything in the Super Bowl. National anthem length. I saw a good one. I'm not sure if you saw this earlier in the week, but there was actually a prop bet about what person the Super Bowl MVP would thank first. Mom, God, and his teammates were some of the top three. I might have to put some money down on that one. I might go for mom, but there's a lot of the sillier stuff that I want to get in. You saw that one, right?
Yeah, but do not go for mom, especially if you think the Broncos are going to win, because when Peyton Manning won the Super Bowl MVP in the Super Bowl against the Bears, he did thank his teammates first, and I think that that'll be a recurring trend. If you think Peyton's going to win.
I think you got to go with teammates in this situation, even though, you know, the heart is always with mom. But when you bleed together and you play together for almost 20 games now, your first thought's got to be with the teammates, right? I would definitely put my money down on that. I'm glad we agree.
Yeah, and also one of the most fun bets for the Super Bowl prop bets are cross-sport ones. So when you're betting not only on the Super Bowl, but you're betting on another sporting event as well. And this was actually one of my five. What will be higher, total rebounds in the game for Victor Oladipo against Boston over Golden Tate receptions in the game? And
That is way too intense, Max. Let me just tell you. Come on, you got to keep it in one sport or just get into the silly stuff. I've never heard of the NBA, NFL.
No
betting.
Way.
You're bringing this
no
up
way.
The first time. Come on. That is crazy.
The sport bets are so much fun because you want the bet to be an experience where you watch the game and you're able to root for it. With cross sports bets, you get to watch two games. So I will be waking up at 10 a.m. on Sunday just to watch Magic Celtics.
Why would you put yourself – I will never be making any bet that will force me to watch two teams that are that far below 500 playing each other in any sport. We're talking with Max Meyer at The Max Meyer. One more question before you go, Max. Thanks for joining us. And then, of course, we're going to get your prediction on the game as well. But national anthem length, the average, I believe, is 230. Correct me if I'm wrong. What do you think, over or under? Because that's a big one.
Well, the national anthem artist is an opera singer. It would allow some people to think that it's going to be on the longer side.
But it's
going to
be cold. He's going to want to get out of there. Think about
exactly.
It.
Exactly. And Russell, that's exactly where I was going. I think the cold weather will speed up the process, and I am going with the under on the national anthem. Good luck, Renee Fleming, though. And then that'll obviously be the start to all the prop bet fun.
You are a legend. At the Max Meyer, you can follow him on Twitter. He is an executive editor for Neon Tommy. Max, before we let you go, we're going to get away from betting for a minute. Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
I am going to go with the Seahawks for a few reasons.
Two for Seattle. Wow.
Yes. I think that Seattle really is the perfect team to beat Denver and this Peyton Manning offense just because their defense is basically the perfect counter to stop all of Denver's weapons. And Marshawn Lynch, I just think, is due for a big game. I think it'll be a low-scoring game, which is very big. I think that Seattle will control the time of possession on the clock, although Denver has been doing it well this postseason. But I think Denver's run defense is a little bit overrated. They're often ranked in the top 10 for fewest rushing yards per game allowed. But I think that that stat's a little bit skewed because Denver has been up by a lot of points on many opponents in the regular season. And then when that happens, opponents tend to pass the ball more on Denver, and that's why the rushing yards per game is so low. Lynch, 2 weeks ago, played against a phenomenal San Francisco rushing defense and still crossed the century mark in rushing yards. I think he's going to have a big game. I think Russell Wilson will make a few big throws, and Seattle, I have them winning 24-20.
His name is Max Meyer. You can find him on Twitter at TheMaxMeyer, and you can check his articles out on NeonTommy.com. Max, always a pleasure, friend of the show. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks, Russell. Really appreciate it.
You got it. We will be right back after this. You're listening to The Russell and Rudd Show. I'm Russell Simon. We'll be breaking down Seattle's journey to the Super Bowl and then talking with Kenny Deuce. We will be right back. You are listening to Russell and Rudd.
Going, dude. Glad you're listening.
Glad
you're listening. All good, dude. Thanks. You know, I just wanted to make sure. Yeah, he's pumped a lot. He's got to get him taken out.
Yeah.
And welcome back. Russell and Roger, Russell Simon here with you. Follow me on Twitter, at RussellSimonNYK. Once again, at RussellSimonNYK. We want to hear from you. The number to call in, 347-637-3502. And we talked a bit about Denver's journey to East Rutherford, New Jersey. And we want to talk about Seattle's now. This was a team, again, last season that made a deep playoff run. They lost to Atlanta in a game that was just a dogfight throughout. Atlanta came back and won that game very late to advance to the NFC Championship game. But Seattle was ahead, and they had drafted Russell Wilson, and he was a rookie last season, and he really thrived, and there was definitely hope for the future for a Seahawk team that was really focused on gaining home field advantage throughout the entirety of the regular season, where CenturyLink Field really established itself as an incredibly difficult place to play. Seattle got off to a red-hot start to the 2013 NFL season. They beat Carolina in week one. They hammered San Francisco at home in a widely anticipated showdown, 29-3 in week two. They beat Jacksonville in week three, beat Houston in week four, and their first loss came against the same team that beat the Denver Broncos. They lost to Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts 34-28 in week five. From then on, they went on a huge tear. They won 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games in a row. Not against some great teams, though. They beat Atlanta, Minnesota, Tampa Bay, St. Louis, Arizona, who definitely came on towards the end of the year, and then Tennessee, for losing in San Francisco week 14, 19-17 in a very close game down in the Bay. They then responded with a win over the Giants, and their only home loss of the year came against Arizona. They lost 17-10 when Arizona was playing for their playoff lives in Seattle. They're the only team that was able to go into Seattle and win before they beat the Rams to improve to 13-3 on the season, and a team very similar to Denver in that they had very high expectations coming into the 2013 NFL season, and they were able to meet them and beyond. They got the first round bye, and then in the playoffs, they beat New Orleans in a surprisingly close game. Russell Wilson really struggled throwing in that game. They won 23-15 behind a powerful performance by Marshawn Lynch. He got a lot of skittles after the game for sure. And then they were able to beat the 49ers as well in one of the epic games, really, and one of the best games I've ever seen. You were on the edge of your seat the entire time. Richard Sherman ended up making the, you know, game-saving tip, the huge, huge play over Crabtree, and he responded, and his post-game histrionics kind of overshadowed just what an incredible game that was. And for Seattle, this was a team that was led by their defense. You know, they had Earl Thomas, 78 tackles, and kind of a legion of boom with Chancellor, Sherman, Thomas, just an unbelievable safety. And it has been very difficult for teams to throw the football Seattle. And in the NFL now, it's really become so much about the quarterback and so much about throwing the ball downfield. And Seattle made it tough, and we're going to talk more about that in one moment with Kenny Ducey, who will join us. Kenny Ducey, obviously, from WFUV. He will be joining us in a moment after this quick music break. You're listening to The Russell and Rudd Show. I'm Russell Simon. We will be right back. And welcome back to the Russell N. Rudd Show. I'm Russell Simon. You can follow me on Twitter at Russell Simon, NYK. And we've got a very special guest joining us now, all the way from frigid New York. He's been experiencing a lot of the Super Bowl stuff up close. He covers the Knicks. He calls Fordham basketball. He hosts a talk show on WFUV Sports. And he works with CBS Sports Radio and WFAN on a freelance basis. The man, the legend, Kenny Ducey joins me now. Kenny, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about you, Russell?
Glad to have you on. I'm doing great. Certainly enjoying the weather a bit more than you are, I'm sure, right now. How's the polar vortex treating you?
Oh, my goodness. It is freezing. The wind chill is unbearable. It's been pretty bad here over the past month. After really a pretty warm winter, it's just awful.
Yeah, I think the minute I came back from L.A., the temperatures just plummeted 30 degrees. They wanted to freeze me to my core before I came back. Nothing to complain on from my end. And Kenny, you're in New York. You're actually going to be doing a show from Radio Row tomorrow. And before we get into the game on Sunday, I just wanted to hear from someone who's in New York who's really experiencing the Super Bowl experience up close. What is it like to really be in the thick of the action, you know, with a show on Radio Row? What has the experience been like for you so far?
Well, I can tell you from, you know, being around the city and a lot of my colleagues who have already been down there actually haven't made the trek down to Radio Row, but, I mean, it's crowded up here. It's, you know, there's a buzz. Obviously, you know that the Empire State Building is lighting up with, you know, Seahawks and Broncos colors, but it's very hectic, and it's really always fun when the New York media meets, you know, these big stars, you know, guys like obviously Peyton Manning, Richard Sherman. And you see, you know, when even the Heat come to town, LeBron James, you know, these guys don't experience anything like this really anywhere else. And it's only when they're in New York that, you know, they're swarmed with these columnists. And, you know, say Marshawn Lynch only speaks for 6 minutes and it's in Houston, I don't know if people are making as big a deal about it as up here in New York, because, you know, we feel entitled to talk to these guys. And it just, you know, it's really just a crazy scene up here that I really wish we could see more of in the future. But unfortunately, I don't know if they will ever consider bringing the Super Bowl back to New York.
Yeah, and when they awarded it, I was definitely skeptical. This was right when MetLife Stadium, it was then called New Meadowlands Stadium because they couldn't find a corporate partner, and that's a whole, you know, that's a thing for another show. But I was initially surprised, and I think definitely part of it from Roger Goodell's standpoint is that he wanted to reward the stadiums that were being built, and he wants the, you know, it's a good way to convince politicians to, you know, give the money for new stadiums when you're awarding Super Bowls there, and that's a big part of why the 49ers are going to be getting the Super Bowl in the next couple of years in Santa Clara in their brand new stadium. And I was initially skeptical, but I think it's actually playing out pretty well so far. The weather's cold, but there haven't been any blizzards. Nothing too serious to worry about, right?
No, I really don't think so at all. And I mean, the chance of snow, man, I'm really hoping for snow, but it's been going down over the past, you know, few weeks or so. And, you know, I don't really know if there's a great chance that we'll see any precipitation come Sunday. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's they're practicing outside and there's no issues. And, you know, I fully expect it to really just be a normal, you know, January game for these guys. I mean, Peyton Manning's had to play in New England before. And, you know, I mean, it's not the first time either of these guys have played in cold weather situations. So I really don't see it being that much of a disaster like, you know, all these people, you know, were seeming to make it out to be. I mean, I don't personally think the league is going to enjoy a cold weather Super Bowl just, you know, because it's not how it's been. And I don't know if they're going to, you know, want to bring these elements into it again in the future. But, I mean, I personally don't see any real big deal about, you know, playing in cold weather. I think that it, you know, adds another element to the game that's really fun. And, you know, it's, you know, why not? You know, Peyton Manning has played the Dome his whole life. Why not see what he can do in the Super Bowl outside?
Definitely. And turning our focus now to the game, a little over what we've got, three, almost to the hour, Saturday, 3 days away now from the big game. And after a couple of years, Kenny, in which it seems as though teams really got hot at the right time, especially last year with Baltimore, made a late run, got the wild card, and it was a formula that the Giants perfected when they won their two Super Bowls, to go on a late December run, make the wild card, and then go on a tear to make it to the Super Bowl. This year is different. This year we've got really the two best teams in the league playing on Sunday, hands down. I think these are two teams that people had predicted would meet when they made their preseason predictions in August. And I got to think these are the two best teams in the league playing on Sunday. You would agree?
You know what? I actually don't agree. I really think that the 49ers
really?
Are the best team in the NFC. Yeah, because you look at the Seahawks offense, and to me there's just something missing there. I really don't see what's so special about the Seahawks offense. I know that their defense is very good.
Power running back,
the best
though.
In the league.
I mean,
yeah, they have Marshawn Lynch. He's been good, you know. But personally, Russell Wilson's really lost it the last part of the season, and you know, the regular season at least. He's obviously played well in the playoffs. But to me, the Niners are the most complete team in the NFC. I think that their defense is right up there with Seattle's. I think that their offense is a lot better, considering Frank Gore, you know, obviously Frank Gore and Marshawn Lynch, both veterans, but I'll give the edge to Kaepernick over Wilson, and I see receivers there. I see Vernon Davis. I see Michael Crabtree is not a sorry receiver. He's very good. I think he's about to crack the upper echelon of receivers. So I think that there's a lot of weapons on the 49ers offense, and, you know, you turn your attention to the Seahawks, and their defense, obviously, in my opinion, tops the league, but I mean, Russell Wilson's been very shaky, and, you know, you look at, you know, Colin Kaepernick, like he said today, or, you know, yesterday maybe, to Bart Hubbuck of the Post, I mean, he throws that ball a foot higher, he's in the Super Bowl. And I personally think that we're, you know, you ask me the same question and say, are these the two best teams? Because I predicted the Niners and the Broncos before the season, and, you know, it's just, I the Seahawks, yes, they have Marshawn Lynch, yes, Doug Baldwin, you know, can do things, and I like Golden Tate's athleticism, but I think that really, the Niners are the most complete team in the NFC. That said, the Seahawks, you know, still aren't, you know, chopped liver. I mean, they're very good. And the Broncos on the AFC side, I think for the entire season, we knew that they were obviously far and away the best team. The Chiefs, look at the Chiefs' schedule. They didn't have more than one quality win. Their only quality win was against the Cowboys, I believe, week three. I mean, they simply didn't win many games that were really, you know, noteworthy.
And that is true. There are definitely flaws, teams, but the beauty of the NFL playoffs is that you only have one chance, and I think the Niners had their shot, and ultimately they couldn't capitalize. And while the matchup between the 49ers and the Broncos certainly would have been good, and either way it had played out from the NFC side, I think we would have had a marquee matchup. But when you look at Peyton Manning and the matchup where he's going to be facing arguably the best secondary, I think, maybe ever, that's got to be just an incredible matchup. And for that reason, I think we've got the best Super Bowl, because when you have a matchup between an offense that has just been historically good this year, where you've got Peyton Manning breaking the record for passing yards in a season against a defense that has been unbelievable, just lights out dominant, you've got a matchup to watch, and that's what I'm really looking forward to watching on Sunday.
Yeah, and I mean, I really think that Peyton Manning, that this is his year, and I really think that, you know, we're going to see him. There's been a lot of questions about the way he's been throwing the ball. I think he's going to personally have a field day. I think that these low-scoring Super Bowls that were, like, last year we were supposed to be a low-scoring Super Bowl, and we just didn't see one. And I personally think that Manning's going to have a great day. And again, that's really the edge that I give the one team, because I don't know if the Seahawks can really put up the offensive firepower that the Broncos can.
And looking at Peyton Manning, we're talking obviously about one of the all-time great quarterbacks. And keep in mind, Kenny, that he still only has one Super Bowl. Manning 1-1 in the big game he lost when he was with Indianapolis and they played New Orleans down in Miami. Now, if Manning were to win on Sunday, it may cap probably the greatest year for a quarterback ever in the NFL. He beat Tom Brady in the playoffs, broke the record for passing yards in a year. What do you think it means for his legacy looking at this big picture? He's close to retirement. He's talked about it. He's come back from the neck surgery. And to win a Super Bowl, what do you think it would mean for him long-term and his legacy?
Oh, I mean, that would absolutely, to me, put him up there top 10. I mean, I think he really already is up there.
Oh, he's definitely top 10. Come on.
Yeah, I think that he could definitely crack the top 5 with a second ring. I mean, here's my deal is, well, first of all, it's just so odd that he's had as good a season as he has, and he really doesn't even seem like he's playing like the best that he – I mean, obviously he's not in his prime anymore, but, you know, it doesn't really seem like he's himself. I mean, there's really not a lot of zip on his ball, right? I mean, he's put up one of the best seasons in history. Right, and I think that – right, the duck. I mean, I think that when it's all said and done, you're going to look back at quarterbacks and, you know, Peyton Manning – in this generation, you know, I'll take him over Tom Brady. And I know Brady's been clutch and Manning hasn't been clutch, but I just think it's unfortunate that has to be what defines him. And, you know, say he wins the Super Bowl, you know, he's 2-1. I mean, I always have hated the rings argument, but I understand that without a lot of rings, you're not going to be considered the best of all time, the greatest of all time. But personally, I don't know if there are more than maybe 3 quarterbacks, maybe even more than 2 quarterbacks that have ever played this game that are better than Peyton Manning. I'd put Montana above Peyton Manning. I think you could make an argument maybe for Marino. I don't know, though. I mean, I just think that he's, to me, already top 5, but I think that with another ring, he will undoubtedly be not only top 10, but probably top 5.
I think he's, undoubtedly top 10, and I think even at this point, undoubtedly top 5. Once you get one ring and you're playing at the level that he has played at for his entire career, I think we're talking him, Brady, and Montana in terms of the top 3 all time. And now it's just, you know, a race between who's going to be the second, who's going to be the third, and we can argue about this till we're blue in the face. But I think that's where we're looking at right now. And I think if he were to win a second Super Bowl, and especially after the neck surgery and after he was very close to retiring, and that's something that people don't even remember. This was a guy who couldn't throw a football 2 years ago after his surgery, literally could not pick up the Wilson ball and throw it at all. And for him to come back and be, you know, have his best year ever after that surgery is really something else.
It really is. I mean, I don't know if we've seen, you know, many comeback stories like this. And personally, you know, I think that this is going to be, you know, 20 years from now, I look back at it, I mean, this and Peterson right side by side, just really two unbelievable comeback stories that, you know, especially in Manning's case, considering we're still up here talking about him as one of the greatest, and, you know, who knows how many more years he'll play, maybe 2 more years, maybe he gets to the Super Bowl again next year. But, I mean, you know, look at, like, Kobe Bryant. I mean, Kobe Bryant might not come back and ever be the same as he once was because that's, you know, an Achilles injury that, you know, historically has really injured players' ability. That's a tough injury. I mean, you know, and the fact that Manning's been able to come back from an injury that almost ended his career too, but he's gone out to go to the Super Bowl this year and break all these records. It's truly amazing.
Absolutely. We're talking with Kenny Doozy. He covers the Knicks. He calls Sportum Hoops. He's an NFL analyst. He'll be hosting a show at Radio Row tomorrow as he goes to Fordham all the way in New York City, and he joins me now. Again, Kenny, we've been talking about the quarterbacks, and I wanted to look at the quarterback on the other side of the football. Russell Wilson has struggled this year at times, had a very rough game against New Orleans in round 2. rebounded to make a lot of plays, and I thought he had a big game in the conference championship game to really make the plays late in the game that let them go to the Super Bowl at all. And I think Wilson is a threat, and I'm surprised you're ignoring him when you consider his legs and the defenses that are going to be out there, the cold weather. Do you really not see him as a threat at all to have a big game on Sunday?
Of course he's a threat, Russell, but I think that, you know, you look at both offenses, and I personally just give the edge to the Broncos. I mean, when you look at Wilson, do I think that he is a threat? Of course, but this Broncos defense has done a good job in the past, and obviously I know they're down a few players, but, I mean, this is a good defense, and this is a team that I think will be able to shut down Marshawn Lynch, and, you know, I think that Wilson, he might have, you know, 90, 100 yards on the ground maybe, but I don't know if that's going to personally win them this game because, I think that, again, there's too much firepower on the other side of the ball, and I know that Colin Kaepernick was better suited than Aaron Rodgers to win that game at Lambeau, but, I mean, personally, I really just see too much on the Broncos' side. But so I don't think it's really a knock against Wilson that I'm saying that the Broncos will win, and I think their offense is better. But, more of just they're both very good. The Broncos have a slight edge. I do agree, though, that could be something to watch considering, you know, ground teams do win these cold weather games. And the Seahawks are certainly a ground team. But, again, I mean, he had issues early on this season with the option. I mean, he wasn't really running the option very effectively. He wasn't keeping the ball. I mean, this is a guy who's not, a flawless option quarterback, you know, whereas Colin Kaepernick is really unbelievable, probably the best, option quarterback considered, it's had a very short life in the NFL, but probably the best one we've seen maybe outside of Cam Newton. So, obviously RG3 is a completely different story. But so, yeah, I mean, when you put Wilson up there with those other guys that I just mentioned, he's a threat to run, but I don't know if that's going to be enough to overcome the points that Broncos put on the board.
And while the Broncos are going to be able to certainly put up points with Peyton Manning and their dynamic offense, they're going to be facing an incredible defense, the best D in the NFL and the best cornerback in the NFL, hands down, in Richard Sherman. And when I look at the matchup between Brady and Sherman, I'm reminded of what happened three years ago when Peyton Manning played the Jets in the playoffs. Back when they had Darrelle Revis, he was coming off of an unbelievable year, defensive player of the year type year. And in that game, in the playoff game, the Jets ended up winning on a Nick Folk field goal. Peyton Manning did not even look at Reggie Wayne. He had, a catch for 3 yards. Darrelle Revis totally shut him down, but it wasn't even like he shut him down. Manning never even threw him the ball. He basically totally ignored him. Could you see the same type of thing on Sunday where Manning just looks at other receivers and kind of ignores the guy that is being covered by Sherman, or do you think he'll really try and attack him?
You know what? I do think that something similar could happen because I personally think that Wes Welker is going to be the difference maker in this game. And I know we like to make fun of the fact that he, had an unfortunate drop when the Patriots were, in a big spot, when he was with New England. But, I mean, Wes Welker to me is the X factor here because I do agree with you. I think that he's probably going to shy away from going to Richard Sherman. And he's got so many other options. I mean, why does he even need to go one-on-one with Richard Sherman considering, he can go short underneath and get, he can get yards after the catch with Welker. He can get yards after the catch with Julius Thomas and Demaryius Thomas, I think, with Julius Thomas with his ability to break tackles, Demaryius Thomas with his speed. I think that he is going to be going short a lot of times. I think he'll run a lot of screens. Considering it's a cold game, I don't know how effective Manning's going to be going deep, which is, I guess, another reason why I think the Broncos are suited well to win this game because they can go underneath very easily and, kind of run those pick plays on the outside and get guys open down the field. And I do think that they're going to have a lot of success with short passes and long runs after the catch. And I really think that, there are not many better guys in the NFL than Wes Welker at doing that.
And you mentioned both teams can go underneath and feature the running back. And that's one thing that has really stood out to me as these teams have made their Super Bowl run. Both teams really feature a balance of run and pass in No'Shawn Moreno for the Broncos and Marshawn Lynch for Seattle, and for all the talk that the NFL is turning into a QB-only league where Ryan Tannehill or a guy like Nick Foles can go out and, you know, set the NFL record for touchdown passes in a game, do you think these two teams making it to the Super Bowl really means that to make a playoff run, you need to develop a ground game? Because if I'm a GM of a team that is on the cusp of making a deep playoff run, if I'm the GM for a guy like the GM for Indianapolis, who kind of had the thought process during the middle of the year that they needed a better running back to make any moves in the playoffs. That clearly did not work out. Trent Richardson has done nothing for them, and they gave up a very good pick for that anyway. But you need a running back, and the point is, I think, that you need a balance between run and pass if you really want to make a deep playoff run.
Yeah, and look, I think that, to me, now the Broncos are the prototype for a pass-happy offense, and it's funny because they're is a running back sitting right there named Marshawn Marino, who's very good. But you look at the Broncos and really how they got to this point, right? And Marshawn Marino was a guy who was drafted by the Broncos. He was, you know, kind of pushed to the bottom of the depth chart at the beginning of the season. They knew he had talent. They didn't really know what he was going to give them. They brought in Monty Ball. They had kind of a plethora of running backs there after Willis McGahee, who was really scooped up last year, you know, a veteran, or I think maybe 2 years ago he was scooped up by the Broncos. But, I mean, he was a very serviceable veteran. It wasn't like these guys were going out and saying, okay, we need a star running back to go along with our star quarterback. I think it was more of, we need someone to emerge out of this backfield who is capable of taking on a load and, you know, keeping defenses honest. And, I mean, that's really, you know, the basics of football. You need any running back, really, that can keep defenses honest. Look at Alfred Morris with the Redskins last year. He had a great year last year when the Redskins were able to have some success late in the season. And you look at even the Packers, Eddie Lacy was a big reason why the Packers had a late season resurgence and even made the playoffs. You know, you look at so many teams like that. Even the Patriots for years jumped, you know, from running back to running back, veteran to veteran, these random guys, Lawrence Maroney out of nowhere. So I don't think that it's necessarily the NFL turning into a league where you need not only a star quarterback but a star running back. I think more like what you said of a balance. You know, I think that the Broncos just have a guy there who, you know, if you're going to drop into zone, you're going to leave the middle open. Peyton's going to hand it off to Marshawn Marino, and he's going to go gobble up 7 yards. You know, I think that the fact that there's just someone there who's capable and they've done a good enough job of scouting and bringing kind of a lot of guys out of the backfield works. And, I mean, you can look at a lot of guys that kind of have something similar going on. Even the Jets, I think, in my opinion, next year going forward, if they can, God forbid, figure out anything, you know, with receiver and quarterback,
for sure.
Right, they have like 3-4 running backs in there that are pretty good that, you know, maybe one guy comes away and really wows people. But I really think that the Broncos have done a great job grooming Marshawn Marino for this role, and, you know, he's really helping Peyton Manning with his ability to run.
We're talking with Kenny Ducey, at Kenny Ducey. You can follow him on Twitter, once again, at Kenny Ducey. Kenny, before we let you go, and obviously great to have you on, friend of the program, who do you have on Sunday? I think I can guess.
Yeah, I have Peyton Manning, although, look, and the Broncos, I mean, I wouldn't really be surprised if the Seahawks won this one. I mean, I think it's going to be a very close game, but I have the Broncos. Someone randomly asked me on campus a couple days ago, what the score was, and I think I said like 37-28, so I'll just stick with that, 37-28 Broncos, and I think that we're going to see, like I said, Wes Welker have a big game. I think Peyton throws 2 interceptions, though, so I think that's what's going to make it close. I think it's going to be very interesting, but I got the Broncos.
Bold predictions there, Kenny. Great to have you on. He covers the Knicks. We'll surely have him on again, because we, Lord knows, we need to talk about them soon. Kenny, great to have you on, man. Thanks for coming on. You're welcome anytime.
Hey, thanks for having me, Russell. Anytime, bud.
You got it. That was Kenny Ducey. Kenny, great to have him on, and I totally agree with prediction. And you're listening to the Russell and Rudd Show. I'm Russell Simon. You can follow me on Twitter at RussellSimonNYK. We will be right back after the break with some final key matchups, and then I will finally give you my prediction. Just a quick hint, I think I'm going to agree with Kenny. We'll be right back, Russell and Roach. And welcome back. Final 10 minutes of Russell and Roger. I'm Russell Simon. Follow me on Twitter at Russell Simon MYK. Great to have you guys following today. 8 o'clock in the East, 5 p.m. in the West. How time flies when you're having fun. That hour flew by. Great guests today. Great callers. We were joined by Kenny Ducey of WFUV. Great Nick Beat reporter. And Max Meyer, great betting guy. I think I know who to put my money on. And before I get into who I would be putting money on if I was betting, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of our key matchups for today, because I think offensively for Denver and defensively for Seattle, on paper, this is a matchup for the ages. And I think one of the big things to watch as I take a look at three of the things that I'm going to be looking out for on Sunday, you got to begin with Peyton Manning against the Legion of Boom. 2 years, Richard Sherman has allowed a receiver only over three catches one time. So keep in mind that is the receiver that he's guarding has only gotten more than three catches once. And what does that mean for Denver? That means that one of their big receiving options, probably Demaryius Thomas, is going to have a very limited game. And I think you've got to come in, if you're Denver and you're John Fox, I think you've got a game plan to have one of your receivers shut down. I think Peyton Manning is really going to look away from Sherman. I think he's too good, and you've got other options, as Kenny mentioned, and I think he's going to look for other targets. And I think that means Eric Decker, Wes Welker, Julius Thomas, and even No'Shawn Moreno out of the backfield are going to have big days if Denver's going to win. I don't think this game is going to be as high scoring as Kenny predicted. I think the defense is too good, but I'm really interested to look at how Peyton Manning and the Denver offense is going to attack Seattle's D, because they'll keep him in a game. If Russell Wilson is struggling and that offense is struggling, they'll just wait him out. They'll ground and pound him with Lynch, and when you've got that bruising defense out there, it's very tough to win. And I'm fascinated at how Peyton Manning is going to play on Sunday. Manning threw for 5,477 yards this year, NFL record. Guy's thrown for a million touchdowns this year. But how is he going to do it against Sherman, Walter Thurman, and Chancellor? Because I don't really think anyone knows at this point. You could see that Seattle D locking down those receivers, generating pressure with the front seven, and killing Manning. And I think that's a recipe for Seattle, and you're going to win this game. You have to rely on your defense to really lock up Peyton Manning and generate pressure with just the linebackers and just the defensive linemen so that Peyton Manning is really unsettled. And I think that's a formula for victory in a game where Seattle clearly does not have as good an offense as Denver. We're not breaking news by any stretch. And when you're playing like that in a game that I'm really reminded of when the Giants beat the Patriots the first time, where certainly Eli Manning was good, but that was a Patriot offense that was humming. And the Giant D had an enormous day, blitzed Brady into oblivion, and they were able to win that game. And that's how you win. And I think it's going to be huge that Red Bryan, Tony McDaniel, Chris Clemons, the defensive ends for Seattle really generate pressure. And I think if the Denver offensive line can have a very big performance, and we've seen them before handle Kansas City really well in that second game between the Chiefs and the Broncos, the Chiefs didn't even touch Peyton Manning. His jersey was completely clean. And if that happens again, I think Seattle's going to be in trouble, because if you give him a lot of time, even though they have great secondary, he's going to find guys. It's only a matter of time. They're not playing Colin Kaepernick anymore. Peyton Manning is going to make the plays, and it's going to be fascinating to see how he'll attack this Seattle D. Also, keep in mind, for Seattle now, when they're on offense, I think it's got to be all about Marshawn Lynch. The Broncos ranked 27th in defense total, but they actually had a great run. They were ranked 8th in the league, and a lot of that stems from their great defensive tackle, Terrence Knighton, and linebacker, Danny Trevathan. And I think these two guys, more than anything else, generate pressure, prevent the big runs. Not a lot of teams are able to run the ball and break off the 50-yard runs that Marshawn Lynch is really known for, and that really didn't happen when teams played Denver. And if they can limit those big runs, I think it'll be tough for Seattle to win, because I think if you have to rely on Russell Wilson to win you this game, certainly I think he can do it, but I don't think he will, and I don't know how confident you can be that he'll be able to get the job done. He struggled against New Orleans. We know that. San Francisco, he made plays with his feet, but he did not make a ton of throws, and he's certainly no Peyton Manning. And if they're going to have to go down the field late in the game, 2 minutes early, I don't know if you can trust Russell Wilson to get the job done. And then finally, and, you know, that brings us back to Marshawn Lynch, they're going to need him to have a huge day. They're going to need him to set the tempo, chew up clock, prevent Peyton Manning from getting back out on the field with time. That's how they're going to win this game. If Marshawn Lynch can break out some big runs, if he gets a touchdown of over 40 yards, I think you could put money on Seattle. I'd feel a lot more confident in Seattle if I knew that they were going to be able to establish Marshawn Lynch, but I just don't know if it'll happen. And that brings me to my third point to watch on Sunday, which is how the officials ref the game. Terry McCauley is going to be officiating the Super Bowl on Sunday, and a lot has been made about the officials, especially when Seattle's on defense, because their entire strategy is based on pretty much the fact that officials are not going to throw flags for illegal contact on every play. And they are unbelievably aggressive. They don't let receivers get off the line. And what that means is that it's hard for quarterbacks to find open guys. What will that mean on Sunday? It'll mean pretty much everything, because if Welker, Demaryius Thomas, all of these guys can't get off the line and are really being bumped into oblivion by Seattle, it's going to be hard for Manning to throw, and then he's going to be waiting in the backfield, and either you dump it off to Sean Moreno for a little yardage, or you take a sack, and if he's getting hit a lot, I think it's a recipe for success for Seattle. And a lot of that will stem from how tight the officials are going to be calling the illegal contact and the pass interference. And we saw Richard Sherman get flagged only really one time for illegal contact by Gene Steratore and his crew 2 weeks ago when the Niners played Seattle. And if they're going to let him get away with murder again, which I think they should, I think physical football is best, I think it could be challenging and it could be a rough day for the Denver Bronco offense. And that's really what I'm interested in looking at, and those are definitely things to watch because all of these things kind of play off each other. If the officials are letting them play, which I'm sure they will, then how will the Denver receivers get open, and how will Peyton Manning face the Legion of Boom? And then if they're going three and out a lot, that'll mean it could be a big day for Marshawn Lynch, who's going to be in charge of really running the tempo and slowing down the clock, breaking the big runs, and wearing down a Denver D that has performed well at times throughout the year, but certainly has had moments where they've faltered, and that came against New England in the regular season where they really blew a late lead in the third and fourth quarters. Will that happen on Sunday? I'm ready to make my prediction. My prediction coming up in a moment. You're listening to the Russell Lane Road Show. We will be right back with my prediction. And there you have it, Russell and Rudge. I'm Russell Simon. Show winding down here today. I'm now joined by David Velasquez, the roommate, the one and only, and I think he was going with the Denver prediction today. I've actually not given him the flu. He's about the only one who has not gotten it yet. He's certainly very excited about that. And just as David is feeling lucky, I'm feeling very lucky about my prediction for Sunday. I'm feeling very good about who I'm going to be picking, and I'm going to be picking the Denver Broncos. I completely agree with Kenny. I think when it comes down to it, the Broncos have a huge advantage at quarterback and a huge advantage on offense. Doug Baldwin, Golden Tate, and a lot of these Seattle Seahawks wide receivers are just not intimidating. They can't really generate production. And Russell Wilson has really struggled at times, and you can't trust him to win the big game yet. It's a lot like Colin Kaepernick last year, just was not ready, and I don't think that Seattle offense is ready. Percy Harvin cleared concussion test. He's going to play. He could be a factor, but he hasn't really played all year. No one really knows how well he's going to play. And with Denver, you know where you stand. You know you've got one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. You know you've got a more than competent running back in No'Shawn Moreno. You know you've got a receiving core. You have four guys who can go out and make plays. And for Seattle, what do you have? You have a great running back. You have a quarterback who can be good, but sometimes he struggles with his accuracy. You have a very good defense, but I don't think that'll be enough. You need offense to win, and I think Denver has got it. I trust Peyton Manning to get his second Super Bowl ring, cementing him as easily probably the second or third or first. We'll have that argument on another show, best quarterback ever to do it in the NFL, because once you have two rings, really, you're on your way, and he's more than on his way to the discussion of best quarterback of all time, and I think he's going to have a big game, and I think the only way Denver will lose is if he throws interceptions, and if that Seattle defense is really apt to shut down Denver's offense, but I don't think they are. Expect a pretty big day for Manning. I think it'll be a back-and-forth game, definitely a close battle like the Super Bowls have been for basically the last decade. Manning will probably throw for three touchdowns. No'Shawn Moreno will have one more, and my prediction is that Denver wins this game 31-28. I think it'll be a very close battle. Interesting with the kickers in MetLife with a ton of wind. I've been at the Meadowlands before. Not an easy place to kick. Matt Prater and Hauschka are going to definitely have their work cut out for them, but I think it'll be Prater in the end winning it for Denver. It'll be a very good game. I'm very excited to listen. And for now, that is all the time we have. Max Meyer would not be happy with me for putting my money down on Denver. I'm doing it anyway, though. I'm Russell Simon. Rudge will be back with us on Monday when we break down the Super Bowl in our show. That's going to be coming to you at 10 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. in the East when everyone is really still buzzing about the Super Bowl. We'll be bringing that to you. But for now, that is all the time we have. I'm Russell Simon. You can follow me on Twitter at RussellSimonMYK. Enjoy Super Bowl weekend, everybody, the final week of NFL football until September. I'm Russell Simon. We will see you on Monday. Enjoy Super Bowl weekend.